Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the free zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, good morning, patriots, and welcome to the morning commute on this Thrash a Turkey Thursday. Welcome, Lady Liberty.
That's right. Good morning, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you, where we normally would be thrashing on commies, but, we're giving it a break today.
Yep,
giving it a break, and instead just being thankful to the Lord, thankful for all of these awesome blessings provided by the Lord, and, that's just how it's going to be today.
That's right. And as you guys are commuting to grandma's house or friends, family, whatever, just be safe out there and just be thankful for all that we have and all that we're blessed with. We don't like to see what's happening to our country and our culture right now. And still, in spite of all that, there are a lot of things that we can find to be very, very thankful for.
That's for sure.
And so I've got something, we both have something that we wanted to do today. I have my Founders Bible here that's produced by Wall Builders, and it's chock full of our American Christian heritage, and they've strategically placed different parts of our history or quotes by a president or something about history a certain scripture was evoked in a speech, or the principles of governance covered, in the Bible, and then how that influenced our laws or our Constitution or any of our founding documents. Really neat. So there's quite a bit in there about the founding fathers, the pilgrims, and the Christians who came to this country before it was a country, to escape tyranny and to build a Christian nation. They were on mission.
That's right.
And so the tyranny drove them to that. Just like the evil of Hitler, God used that to actually drive to rebuild Israel, to reestablish Israel, the nation, and fulfill prophecy, where, the Jewish people were coming from all over the world back to the land. And so he uses hardship, he uses tyranny to drive his people and his gospel and fulfill his will. And so,
he does. Really cool. And yeah, exactly. All throughout scripture, in fact, that if you've read that book from cover to cover, you'll know that is what he does.
Yes.
He has ways.
He has his ways
of bringing you closer to him. And you can either do it willingly and politely, or he can make you do it.
God says we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
That's right. Well, I take that back. He doesn't force anybody to love him, but he can make sure that you really have some time to think about things.
Well, and his will be done.
Yes, that's right.
Ultimately. So, but let's get into the word of the day first and find out what the Lord has revealed to you.
Yes, let's do.
Thankful Thrash a Turkey Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, the poor turkeys, they're having a terrible day today. But we, on the other hand, are going to enjoy it. Okay, so the word of the day for Thanksgiving Thursday is so delightful. This is a random turning, and so it makes it even that much more important. Okay, so the word of the day is from John chapter 4, verses 27 through 38, which read under the title, The Whitened Harvest. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, What do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, There are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And that's it. But wow. I thought that what the fascinating part was here, you know, today is all about eating, right?
Right.
It's all about feasting. How much food, right? How much food can we have, right?
Yeah.
Well, and so the fact that, you know, I don't think I could have even picked that out under the title The Whitened Harvest.
Right.
Because honestly, every time I hear about the woman at the well, I think about something entirely different. And
right.
and the whitened harvest goes almost unnoticed. And so just the fact that Thanksgiving is about all the food, all the great food that you get to eat.
The feasting.
Yes. And his disciples are urging him, Rabbi, eat. And he says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And there he is talking about the whitened harvest. That's,
right.
I think that's cool. What a great reference for what the Lord would be eating today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? how cool that, I don't know. It just, I wasn't expecting that. So I thought it was especially interesting.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's something for us to chew on today.
There we go.
That's a good one. Want to put that out one more time?
Yeah. So that was John chapter 4, verses 27 through 38. And you know what? Speaking of jokes, do you mind if I throw in one little Thanksgiving joke?
We got to have it, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. I'll let you have it. All right. Here it is. Okay. What did the turkey say to the turkey hunter on Thanksgiving Day?
I don't know.
Quack, quack.
Well, hoping that they don't also like to have duck for Thanksgiving,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Really banking on that one.
that's a great one. You know, something else that's really cool for Thanksgiving is I love the Charlie Brown specials and Snoopy and Woodstock are just the coolest.
I
didn't know it, but the Liberty Daily has an article where to watch the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special for free. And I didn't know that it was a big deal, but PBS normally broadcasts it. And apparently something happened legally. They lost the rights to air it. So now we're without it. And so they were saying you can watch it on Apple TV. I'm like, dang, who has, well, I guess a lot of people have Apple TV, but, I found it on YouTube.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, it's broken down into small sections so they can, I guess, copyright stuff. So if you need your annual fix of Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special and awesome Snoopy and Woodstock stuff, then yeah, it's on YouTube.
That's right.
So,
oh, hey, you know what? One more. Could I sneak one more in?
Of course.
Okay. So what happened to the turkey that got into a fight?
Oh, he got gobbled.
He got the stuffing knocked out of him.
Oh. All right. Okay, cool. Well, let's go ahead and take a break and stick around. Got a message here from the man from, a soundbite here. Well, you're going to recognize his voice. Talking about why I love America. This is cool. I'm glad I dug this back up. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, let's take a break. Just let you listen to that, and then we'll come back on the other side. And I've got something to share with you from my founder's Bible.
Mm-hmm. me why I love her? Well, you need time. I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachia Mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from the bright Nevada sky? Have you hailed to the Columbia as she rushes into the sea? Or bow your head at Gettysburg? Or struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? Have you watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? Do you stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef? From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I've a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Welcome back, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, on this Thrash a Turkey Thursday. And I've got Lady Liberty here in the studio with me. We've got some cool stuff we want to cover. And Lady Liberty, I know you. You've got another joke, don't you?
Oh my gosh, I do. If I'm good for anything, it's for always having jokes.
Yeah, no kidding. I've never known anybody who had more jokes memorized than you. I've got like three that I can remember from my lifetime. I hear an awesome joke and then I forget it. I don't know what it is. You've got this knack.
That's my dad's fault. He instilled that in me ever since I was little. We would tell jokes all the time. And so, you know, well, it just continues.
Right.
In fact, so one more to start off segment two, huh?
There we go. Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So why did they let the turkey join the band?
Why did they let the turkey join the band? Because he had the drumsticks.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Nice.
Good job.
That was a good one. Almost had me there. All right.
Well, actually, you're one of the few people, though, even though you don't remember jokes, you can usually guess the punchline.
Right.
So that's pretty impressive.
That's pretty cool. All right. Now, since this is Thanksgiving, and a lot of times we bring up stories about the pilgrims and showing up on the Mayflower and being thankful and signing the Mayflower Compact and everything, this is kind of along those lines, but I guess really makes us thankful for our country and who we are and our heritage. And they're trying to separate us from our heritage.
Oh, definitely.
They can try to redefine you so you don't know who you are anymore. Then they can shape you into anything that they define you as, what they say we are, what America is.
Right.
And it's kind of like, you know, disconnecting you from your memory. It's the same thing they're doing with rewriting and erasing history. So this is why it's so important for us to keep it alive and keep it in front of us.
Yeah, and keep it accurate.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a section that we just don't have time to get into, but I'd love to share this or parts of it at some point, talking about the persecution that the Christians were facing. I mean, they were cutting off ears and killing people, torturing people. They would brand you on your forehead, you know, if you wouldn't conform to the Anglican Church. And it was pretty hardcore. And these people were trying to flee. And King James the First, he banned them. He said, if you're not going to convert, you need to get out of the country. And they confiscated their land, their homes, their property, all of their possessions, and then booted them out. Then they passed an edict that you can't, it's not lawful for you to leave. So it was illegal to stay and it was illegal to leave. So that they would smuggle their families and their possessions out, and they got betrayed. They got recaptured, they got tortured, imprisoned, they'd escape. I mean, it's quite an ordeal that most people don't realize what happened to the Christians before they even got to America.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So that's for a different time, just because it's so lengthy. And I want to share this. And it starts off with Matthew 5:14, the shining city set on a hill. And this is from the Wall Builders Bible, the Founders Bible, produced by Wall Builders. Media and political commentators today often reference President Reagan's City on a Hill quote, but in reality, Reagan was quoting from the Puritan leader John Winthrop, who was quoting from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." That's from Matthew 5:14. It's the Puritans who were largely responsible for making this verse well known in American history, for it was a central part of their founding covenant. In 1608, this is kind of like their first constitution. In 1608, the Pilgrims fled England to Holland after suffering harsh persecution from the Church of England. Many English religious dissenters who shared the general theology of the Pilgrims remained behind, believing that the church could be reformed. They were known as Puritans, but after many of them received life sentences or had their noses slit, their ears cut off, or a brand placed on their foreheads for not adhering to the state-mandated Anglican teachings, they too fled. The Pilgrims came to America in 1620, and before disembarking in Plymouth, in the harbor there, they penned the Mayflower Compact, announcing their mission and the general terms of their agreement with one another. In 1630, the Puritans did the same, with their leader, John Winthrop, setting forth the terms of their covenant in a model of Christian charity, is what they called it, which he wrote while sailing across the Atlantic on the ship Arabella. It explained, "Herein are four things to be propounded. First, the persons. Secondly, the work. Thirdly, the end. Fourthly, the means. First, for the persons, we are a company professing ourselves fellow members of Christ. Secondly, for the work, it is to seek out a place of cohabitation and consortship or fellowship under a due form of government, both civil and ecclesiastical. Thirdly, the end is to improve our lives to do more service to the Lord, the comfort and the increase of the body of Christ, whereof we are members, that ourselves and posterity may be better preserved from the common corruptions of this evil world, to serve the Lord and to work out our salvation under the power and purity of His holy ordinances." You said this didn't start off as a Christian nation, a nation that was built by Christians.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah. Now, this was in 1620, but these teachings and these compacts and these principles lasted generations. All the way up until the Founding Fathers, they used the Bible as it was the textbook for children.
That's right.
You know, for their education. Anyway, fourthly, for the means, we must love brotherly without dissimulation, which is from Romans 12:9. We must love one another with a pure heart fervently. We must bear one another's burdens. We must not look only on our own things, but also the things of our brethren. So when you see your brother struggling, you help him out. It's Christian, you know, Christian charity. So, we are entered into covenant with Him for this work. We have taken out a commission. The Lord hath given us leave to draw our own articles. But if we shall neglect the observation of these articles, the Lord will surely break out in wrath against us, be revenged of such a sinful people, and make us know the price of the breach of such a covenant. Now the only way to avoid this shipwreck and to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world. Which is a reference to Deuteronomy. The latter part of this covenant, including the phrase so well known today, was often repeated by Christians and leaders throughout New England for generations in order to remind the people of their covenant with the Lord. In 1974, a young Hollywood actor and conservative California governor named Ronald Reagan revived this phrase when he told a political convention, and here's the quote, "I have always believed that there was some divine plan that placed this great continent between two oceans to be sought out by those who were possessed of an abiding love of freedom and a special kind of courage. I know there have been other constitutions. New ones are being drawn today by newly emerging nations. Most of them, even the one of the Soviet Union, contains many of the same guarantees as our own constitution. And still, there is a difference. The difference is so subtle that we often overlook it. But it is so great that it tells the whole story. Those other constitutions say governments grant you these rights, and ours says you are born with these rights. They are yours by the grace of God, and no government on earth can take them from you." Standing on the tiny deck of the Arabella in 1630 off the Massachusetts coast, John Winthrop said, "We will be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all the people are upon us, so that if we deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world." Well, we have not dealt falsely with our God, even if he is temporarily suspended from the classroom. This is a reference to the 1962 Supreme Court decision banning voluntary prayer from public schools. He says, continuing on in his speech, "We are indeed, and we are today, the last best hope of man on earth." Talking about America. And I'm almost done. 5 years later, Governor Reagan announced that he was running for president, telling the country, "I believe this nation hungers for a spiritual revival. Government should uphold and not undermine those institutions which are custodians of the very values upon which civilization is founded: religion, education, and above all, family. We who are privileged to be Americans have had a rendezvous with destiny since the moment in 1630, when John Winthrop, standing on the deck of the tiny Arabella off the coast of Massachusetts, told the little band of pilgrims, 'We shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all the people are upon us. So if we shall deal falsely with their God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world. A troubled and afflicted mankind looks to us, pleading for us to keep our rendezvous with destiny.'"
Wow. That's outstanding. And what a fantastic thing that they point out, if we should, you know, basically, if we should fall by the wayside and not be honoring to God, then we don't deserve to be anything other than a byword.
Right.
You know, wow. Because that's where we're at right now. I mean, we are in that era right now.
And it's like our unborn children and grandchildren and their children and grandchildren are crying from the future back to us,
saying, don't leave it like
this. Pleading with us to fight for it, because it has to be fought for at every generation. Oh, and there's one small section of this left, and I can see we have time to cover it. It's just one paragraph. Some 30 years later, and this is after his speech that I just read when he announced that he was running for president. Some 30 years later, that hunger still exists. So too, the invitation. We do not have a rendezvous with an unfinished destiny. If ever there was a need for us to respond, it's now. America can continue to be as a city on a hill, but we must not deal falsely with our God in this work, and thus cause him to withdraw his present help from us. Our forefathers forged a covenant. Our founders laid the foundation. Christ has ever been the true cornerstone, for it is from him that our freedom flows. Those who have followed have built upon those values, many wisely, some foolishly, but thankfully a glorious nation emerged. Its people have climbed that mountain, and it lit a beacon of freedom that has shone brightly for, lo, these many generations. For ourselves and for our posterity, with all the eyes of the world upon us, let us not stumble now. We cannot, must not, and will not let that light go out.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah. And that wasn't a quote from Reagan. That was the author, one of the editors from Wall Builders, had that in response to his speech.
Right.
And just beautiful, beautiful. And there's so much more. I mean, there's so much history that's been separated from us.
Right. And all of those are rich and awesome blessings from the Lord.
Yeah.
And those are memories that we need to be thankful for today. The fact that we were given this great nation with such an incredible constitution based on God's law, based on, Christianity itself.
Yep, that's what made us exceptional.
That's right.
Absolutely. And so tomorrow I'll share a little bit from that I was started to talk about some of the persecution that the, before they were pilgrims, the Christians faced that drove them to eventually, coming here. So
great.
Anyway, we're out of time. You guys be safe out there, or just enjoy your family and your friends and Thanksgiving and be thankful.
That's right. You all have a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.